Here we are, another day in the Matt and Hunter show.
Uh-huh.
This is the only time we see each other anymore.
Yeah,
I'll say that. This is it.
We're getting there. Okay,
we're getting better.
You gotta let me cook.
I'm being patient.
If you want to come help me do some plumbing, you'll see me all the time.
I can't do that. I can't do plumbing, and I have zero time to help.
Yeah,
is really what it is with me right now.
Actually, the reality has been that Hunter's getting back into Night Hunter mode. There was actually we lost a little bit of Night Hunter, but Hunter actually flourishes in Night Hunter mode.
Oh yeah,
and Matt doesn't have evenings because he has a child that keeps him home
at
nighttime, and so we are realizing how difficult it is for our two schedules to align.
Yep,
when you are nocturnal. And I am not.
Oh, yeah. I used to, for a solid almost 4 years there, I was waking up early.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah, sure.
Like 8 to 9.
Uh-huh.
I would be like, and I would wake up and I'd be like, I'm an adult. I can't believe how much of an adult I am. And now those days are over. That's just done. That's in the toilet. There's no way.
Uh-huh.
There's no way to be a comedian.
No.
And wake up before 10.
I wouldn't expect it. Yeah.
Before 10. Yeah, I do still occasionally wake up before 10.
Sure.
I will say that. Not today I didn't, though. but yeah. So sometimes I wake up old Hunter style.
Mm-hmm.
But there has been a lot of nocturnal Hunter time.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm having the best time of my life. I've never been happier.
Good for you.
In my whole life. I keep saying it. Said it out loud. I was hanging out with some people that I'm getting to know. Some new friends. And I did say, I said that out loud, and somebody said, wow.
They don't even know. even know you. It's like, hi, I'm Hunter. I'm having the best time.
We were just like walking down the street and just talking about stuff. I was talking about having moved here or something. And I said, I'm actually living the best time of my life. Like, it's kind of like, it's like a positivity overshare.
You mean right now? Like this, like with me right now? Like
you're having
the best time? Like, no, I mean, Jared's like, okay.
I'm right now is the best time of my entire life.
I've never had friends like these, right, guys?
Yeah. And I'm putting too much on them. I will say this, a comedian friend of mine who is very sweet, I like her a lot, said that I am overly friendly. But then when I was like, overly, she was like, no, it's good. It's like a good thing. Uh-huh. And I'm like, it doesn't
sound
overly. You
said an extreme word. I need to be in the middle.
She honestly sounded like you for a minute because you're always critiquing how I interact with new people.
Sure.
Because I do, you know, I like to do it. It's an amusement park ride.
Yes.
Get in here with me.
Right.
Don't
and they have to keep up with you.
Yes.
Well, that's good. I'm glad for you. My weekend was ruined by a children's show.
Mm-hmm.
So
let's talk about how Bluey ruined your life and ruined your weekend and affected you on a deep level.
It's horrible.
Bluey, who has been your friend now for how long have you had Bluey in your
life
helping you out? Three years.
At least two.
At least a 2-year friendship with Bluey.
Yeah.
And how dirty
betrayal.
Did Bluey do ya?
Truly a betrayal.
Yeah. Explain to the listeners.
All right. We're going to get into some deep Bluey spoilers here. So
let's
I know everyone's
Bluey.
Trying to keep up. And you know, it's funny because we're getting ahead of this because I did also have to play the Bluey video game for our 2023 Game of the Year episode that we still will get to eventually. Shut up about it already.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up.
Nobody
ever talks about it except for us.
Yeah,
nobody.
Don't worry about it. No, somebody mentioned it the other day on the Discord. I saw that and I wanted to be like, shh, shh. Not right now. We're cooking it.
Uh-huh.
It's being cooked.
Yeah.
All right. It's baking.
It's hard to play 16 games and also 52 games for the year.
It turns out.
Yeah,
that's true.
So anyways, Bluey. Bluey's a show for kids, but it's actually a show for parents to teach you how to play with your kids. It's literally about games. The company,
it's about play.
The company is called Ludo Entertainment or Ludo something. Ludo, of course, is the term. It's games. Ludo is
it's
play.
It's the dork
Ludo
word games. For games.
Yeah, dork word for games. And it's like a show about child psychology is... you play things with kids and that's how they learn stuff.
That's how they learn stuff. You learn by playing.
Yeah.
Whenever you play games, you're learning stuff 100% of the time.
And turns out, that continues into your adulthood and everything.
Yeah.
But
Like, I learned from playing Elden Ring what to do with the world or the big tree, Yggdrasil.
Yeah.
If I ever run into Yggdrasil,
you'll know what to do.
I'll know what to do.
Yes.
And if I ever meet Melania
yeah.
in real life,
right.
I know right. her moves.
If you ever find yourself with two swords fully naked and a pot on your head,
yes.
you will know what to
do. Well,
there's
really just one guy that knows what to do then. That's just kind of a specialty person right there.
But Bluey had an episode recently that ended with a for sale sign in the yard.
Yeah, yeah. But it was like, no. Set it up right. It was a cliffhanger.
A cliffhanger. They built up. The episode was about the kids pretending to be a realtor and selling the house. And it's funny. And there's all these little hijinks.
And they're learning about selling houses and also property.
I don't even remember what actually like the fun.
Well, I didn't watch it. Yeah. You think I watched it? I didn't watch it. I don't watch little kid stuff.
I'm
not trying to keep up with Molly's stuff so that I have something to talk to Molly about. Why would I do that? That's weird. I'm not doing that. I'm not watching Bluey on my own just to, so that when I see Molly, I have something to say to her.
So the cliffhanger was a for sale sign in front of the legendary Bluey house.
The legendary Bluey house.
And then you keep getting harping on me. All of these things are true so far.
Okay, but why is the house legendary?
Because like all the games, first off, it's an unreal, like it's one of those classic TV houses where it's like,
oh, it's Jerry's apartment.
How are they
style?
Affording this? Like how do these people afford this house?
How do
house?
They afford it? Also, how does it work dimensionally? Yeah, we've all seen the diagram. Jerry's hallway doesn't make sense with the apartment.
Sure. So this house just doesn't make any sense, but is a perfect house, especially for children to grow up in. And they're going to move? What? Who knows? Uh-oh. And then that is the buildup to a, this will not seem weird, but a 28-minute episode long of Bluey. Normally they're 5 minutes. This is a little kid's show.
It's for little children.
And so we're going to have what effectively works as a Bluey movie in this world.
Yeah.
The attention span desired now for how long this thing is going to be. And here's what the Bluey movie is about.
Yeah.
We all just learned we're selling the house. Why are we selling the house, Dad? Well, Dad got a new job in a city far away, and we have to leave. All of our family is from here.
Uh-huh.
All of our family's from here, and we have to leave.
Huh.
And throughout the episode, Mom, she's happy for Daddy, and she's willing to go on this, and she's willing to tell the kids, this is good, but Mom, when you get her behind, when the kids aren't around, she's pretty affected by it.
Oh, my God.
And she's maybe not into it.
Oh, my God.
And so the episode continues. Oh, also, there's a wedding. You don't need to know this, but we're going to a wedding in May for Katie's brother. For Katie's brother. And guess what? Guess what Bluey is? Bluey's a flower girl. Guess what Molly's going to be in her uncle's wedding? She's gonna be a flower girl.
Wow.
Kind of like maybe Molly can watch this episode and put herself exactly.
She's seeing a lot of stuff in it.
She's seeing a lot of stuff in it. And all that would be fine, right? Oh, okay. The lesson of the thing is going to be everything's okay.
Oh, no.
Everything's going to turn out okay.
Are you saying the lesson isn't that everything's going to be okay?
They love to tell you in this episode that everything's going to be okay, but their version of everything's going to be okay is actually a big part of the plot of the episode. Is that the wedding couple has this big spat because actually the wife finds out she also was going to have to move because the husband's job is going to take them away. They're both moving. Both of these brothers are moving or whatever.
What?
And I know it's a lot of things at once. But the lesson that happens at the wedding is the husband, to rectify the situation, they finally get to talk to the wife. The wife is like avoiding him and she like goes running. It's like a classic movie, like the wedding's off, I'm out of here. They find him, they make up, they're happy again. They're not gonna move, the wedding couple. The wedding couple's not gonna move. And then Bluey is like, maybe that'll happen to us too. And then, oh no, we still have to move. We're packing up all of the house, all of that. And then you cut to the couple that is buying their house, and through a whole set of circumstances, they look through this telescope thing. They see this other house, and in the first scene of the episode, they were visiting Bluey's house, scoping it out.
Yeah.
And the woman of the couple goes, oh, no pool, that's upsetting. And the telescope, they look through this viewfinder at the end of the episode, and they see a house with a pool, and it's all the things they wanted. They call their realtor. The realtor calls the Bluey family, and says, we didn't sell the house. And there's this beautiful, transcendent, like, orchestra peaking. There's lyrics to the song. It's the most impactful and important moment in all of Bluey. And it's the dad going to the for sale sign in the front yard and ripping the sign out of the ground, throwing it into the yard in, like, a fit of rage and overwhelmed anxiety.
Oh my God.
And the family is united again because we are not moving.
Oh,
everything
no.
Everything is better.
Oh, no.
Everything got better because we didn't move.
Moving is evil.
And daddy's bad when he makes you do that.
Good Lord. Oh, my God.
So, that's fuck you, Bluey. Let's go.
Hey, welcome to the Old Gamers Almanac. This is a show about games. It's a flirty look at 30 years ago. I'm Hunter, and I'm
Hi.
Here. Yeah, okay.
I'm here.
And Matt's here.
And I'm fine.
We are currently an anti-Bluey program, but we also talk about video games. We talk about video games from 1994, exactly 30 years ago.
Yes.
And we talk about the video games of today.
Yeah.
Today,
ooh,
we're going back in time. It's a 1994 episode. We're going to talk about NBA Jam, which is a game
from downtown.
From downtown, boom shakalaka, pump fake. Yeah, that's the best line to remember. This game came out in the arcades in 1993. It came out on Super Nintendo in 1994.
Yeah.
However,
yeah,
it's a loosey-goosey show.
Sure.
We're going to talk about both.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about both the arcade version and the Super Nintendo version.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not always going to know which one we're talking about. I'll go ahead and tell you that much.
It's going to vacillate.
We're definitely going to go back and forth. Actually, if it's me talking, I'm probably talking about the arcade version. If it's Matt talking, he's probably talking about the Super Nintendo
assuredly
version.
I've never played the arcade version.
There we go.
So,
now you got
it. And the reason it's relevant for 1994 then is because I don't know that I played this in 1994. Maybe, though. But I played it for Super Nintendo, so the Super Nintendo release is all I technically, in my life, care about. So this was a Super Nintendo game to me, so 1994 works, I say.
This one is a Matt's POV episode.
Oh, is it?
Because, well, I mean not for the sake of the discussion, but for the sake of why it's 1994.
Oh, yeah. For the genesis of the episode.
Because sometimes we take a little more of a me POV as to why, or like whatever game it is that we're talking about.
Yeah.
This is more for Matt's POV. This was a 1994 game.
Yeah.
However, and let's start there. Let's start personal. What's your personal history with NBA Jam, the brand?
Played it a lot.
Oh, yeah? Boom Shakalaka?
Was one of the only games my brother and I, like, actually fully played together. Like, we would play this game. And not only that, let's go back to 1994.
Yes.
Nothing in the world, perhaps, especially for children under the age of probably 18, people under the age of 20, nothing is more important than the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, that's true.
Absolutely nothing in 1994.
I don't like sports, and I have never had anything to do with sports. I had a Michael Jordan little locker thing.
Yeah.
A fake, like, locker. I never once expressed even remote interest in a sport, and I still had Michael in my room every day.
And a few years from now, we would all be graced with Space Jam.
Yes.
And all things
that was a big movie.
But in my household, my dad is from Carpentersville, Illinois, which is a suburb of
Chicago.
And in my house, we root for the Bears.
Yeah.
We root for the Bulls.
Oh, the Bulls.
We root for the Cubs.
Oh, baby.
My dad didn't watch too much hockey, but there was a time in which we rooted for the Blackhawks.
Yeah,
we don't
do
that anymore, though, because they're a bunch of weird fucking freaky pieces of shit. So we don't do that anymore. Now we're a wild.
Yeah.
Now we're a wild house.
We root for the Wild, and also we're really into the PWHL. Check out a little show called Puck Boys.
Absolutely.
If you're interested in hearing the two, not either of us,
yes,
but EJ and Son, the Sanders brothers, they are related. They are brothers.
Mm-hmm.
EJ is actually the older one, which is crazy. because in reality he's younger, but
he is a younger person. As but he a is brother, the older brother,
he is the older brother,
right? Well, because he's got a kid.
Because he has a kid and Son don't. So there you go. EJ's older. Also, it's a vibe thing. Son has a youthful energy.
Sure.
He's bouncing around. Yeah, you know what I mean? EJ, I'm no shade, but he's grounded. You know what I mean? That boy has got 2 feet planted firmly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's the ADHD.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's what it is. So, he's actually freaking out.
So anyways, we were already a Chicago household, which meant the 90s were like, oh boy, what a time for our
house. Chicago.
Yeah.
Big decade.
Hilariously, Michael Jordan was not able to appear in NBA Jam for like weird legal reasons or whatever. I don't even remember. Or like the time frame of it. For some reason, Michael Jordan is left out of it.
Yeah.
But in our house, we didn't care at all because we were all the whole team featured everything. Yeah, yeah. We had
Scottie Pippen.
We had Scottie Pippen posters in our house. We had Dennis Rodman posters in our house. Those were who you played as in NBA Jam.
Yeah, dude.
That's your lineup. And all we ever did was my brother and I would play together as the Bulls against the Spurs because those were the only teams I guess we ever cared about for some reason.
That's it.
Yeah.
You never played any other matchups?
Not that I remember. Right, we almost definitely
did. But yeah.
I want to say Wilt Chamberlain was in the Spurs lineup, mm-hmm. and that's why we wanted to play it, because it's like, oh, the other basketball player we know.
Yeah.
I'm 7, and I'm 10. Like, that's it.
Let's do it. I want to use this as a springboard, too, because we haven't talked about your brother that much in the show. Uh-huh. I feel like he's come up a few times.
This season because of, yeah.
Yes, let's talk a little bit about your brother. Let's establish him as a supporting character that is going to come up.
That's
more. And it maybe he might be more relevant for this episode than any other.
Yeah.
He might not do a
He'll
lot
never
with
come back again.
Okay. Okay. So this is his premiere and finale episode. But tell me about your brother. Because you have a brother.
Yeah.
Which is weird. It's always annoyed me
that I have a brother and it's not you.
It's not fair. To me, I put all the work in. You know what I mean?
So you're
he
mad.
Handed you off in high school, was like, here, have him. Whatever.
I thought you were mad that Molly is my child, too. You have both of these. So you are my brother child.
I am absolutely your brother child. And honestly, depending on the topic of conversation, I'm your dad, too. You know what I mean? There's some life experiences where I'm outpacing you like crazy. Like crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy how worldly.
Have you seen that coffee setup?
Yeah, yeah. You're like over there. Oh, I don't like the way you do it. Actually, you do it fine.
I do a fine job.
You do a fine job.
My brother. Boy, what a funny spot you've put me in.
Yes, I love it. Tell us about your brother. You don't have to name him. We don't have to dox him.
He's sportier than me, which is why NBA Jam falls into the wheelhouse. He's not a gamer.
No.
He's not a nerd, except for he grew up in the 90s. Which
he is
meant
a dork, though.
He's a dork, and that's different. But he loved Batman and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because who didn't in the 90s?
He really loved the Turtles. I knew he loved the Turtles.
I would call him a proper 90s kid, is kind of the thing. Like he is the end of Gen X. He's not actually Gen X. He's like the beginning of Millennial, which is like... Are you even a millennial? You know what I mean? He's that kind of millennial. He's super into mountain bikes now. And he has three daughters under the age of two. Or under the age of three.
Yeah.
Twins. He's got twin daughters. Isn't that fucked up,
That's
bro?
That's tough, dude. That's really tough.
Not really a gamer and was like played soccer and stuff, and so I was the one inside playing games and doing like make-believe. Like I would sit in my room and like play with toys, and my mom would come in the room and want to play with me, and then I would go, Mom, you're doing all the voices wrong.
Right.
And I did that in a deep voice, but I was 6 telling that. And I would tell my mom to leave so that I could play by myself and do all the my own character voices.
Right. Mom could not play with you.
Yeah.
And your brother had no interest.
No interest. Like, nah, nah. We did not grow up close. Like my brother and I, like, again, it's pretty odd that we would like play this video game together, basically.
Are we kind of maybe talking today about the thing that you and your brother bonded on the most as kids?
Maybe. It's like this and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Those are like the two things that we did the most of.
What's your turtle? What's his turtle, you think?
He's a Raph.
He is definitely a Raph. I could have told you that.
And as a kid, I was a Mikey.
Yeah, but you've morphed into a Donatello.
That's correct.
It's because you met a big time Mikey. with
meet a proper Mikey and you become a Donnie. Yeah,
I outclassed you as a Mikey. But I'm the worst type of Mikey though, because this is like a bit I've been working on for many years, which is that Teenage Mutant Turtles are basically astrology for boys. Uh-huh. Maybe you doubt the idea, but let me tell you this. So my sun sign is Mikey,
uh-huh.
but my moon sign, Raph. I got a little Raph in me. Doesn't that make sense? That hardcore makes sense, yeah. right?
I don't know what these terms mean. And you know
the Raph in me.
Yeah, yeah.
You've seen it come out.
Right, sure, sure.
Yeah.
I'm Donnie with undertones
of
Leo, I think.
Yeah.
Or maybe flip that. I don't know. Maybe I'm Leo with undertones of Donnie.
I think you're more Donnie than you are Leo, yeah, basically. Maybe. Because I think wherever your Leo is, it's in the same spot that my Raph is, basically. Sure. So I would say, because either that, I mean, I think that we take turns.
I'm not courageous enough to be a Leo, is what you're saying.
I'm not. No, I'm saying you don't need to be a Leo.
Oh.
First of all, you don't need to be one. But that you have latent Leo stuff, basically.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And it doesn't have anything to do with courage. God, that's so Donnie of you to try and turn it in. I'm literally saying you are, because of all the turtles to be, who wouldn't want to be Donnie? He's the best one. Donnie is their buddy.
Uh-huh.
He's their main buddy.
He's the one every turtle talks shit about the other turtles
yes,
too.
Yes. He is the glue of the dynamic. You know what I mean? He does machines.
Uh-huh.
Well, why does he do that? Because they need someone to do that.
Uh-huh, uh-huh,
you know?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
They don't need a leader. There's four of them. They don't need a mean guy. Who needs a mean guy?
Uh-huh.
They're partying? They're ninjas.
Yeah.
They don't need to party,
sure.
dude.
Sure.
Like, that. Donnie is the only one they actually need.
That's so funny.
So there you go.
Okay. Are we done talking about my brother? Can we be done talking about my brother?
Yeah, you can't go further, can you?
I have nothing else to say
about my
brother.
I could weigh in on your brother a little
bit. Go ahead. You have at it.
Your brother, he seemed really cool to me in high school.
Oh, interesting.
I remember seeing him and be like, this guy's slick.
Yeah.
You know, this is like a slick guy.
Yeah.
And he would kind of walk around.
But that's what made him dorky.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's the thing where, in retrospect, what I realized was happening,
uh-huh.
this is what happened with your brother.
Yeah.
This is the most shade I possibly could throw at your brother, which is not a lot. But he was a senior in high school.
Yeah.
And I was like a freshman in high school.
Right.
So I'm a little nasty little 14, 15 year old.
Yeah.
And he's like on the verge of becoming an adult.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, he's cool. And the reason I thought he was cool was because he took the time to like try to be cool to me,
uh-huh.
which is what makes him the biggest dork
right.
in the world.
He tried to be cool to
he
a 15-year-old.
He literally was like, I want a 15-year-old to think I'm cool?
Yeah.
That's like the least cool thing
right.
in the world.
Absolutely.
He should have, you know what my experience, if he was actually cool, here's what my experience would be of him. Oh yeah, I don't know anything about him. You know? It would have been, oh yeah, that guy, he never says anything to me,
uh-huh.
and he kind of just like moves through. No, he would like,
right.
He would like kind of circle around. He would like, you know, say stuff.
What's going
on,
boys?
He would throw out random little things.
He knew we were funnier than him, is the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
My brother always knew we were funnier than him.
Yeah, good.
And that's fine.
I respected that.
And my brother can be funny. The highest compliment I ever got paid by a girl in high school.
Whoa.
I didn't.
We're talking girls now?
We're talking girls for just a sec.
We're really meandering.
I know. That's fine. There's not a lot to say about NBA Jam.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But this is a history episode.
Yes.
That's what we're doing.
The highest compliment I was ever paid by a girl in high school was, your brother's pretty hot.
Nice.
And then
that's not really a compliment.
Well, hang on. And then in a separate breath, later, weeks later, I would be told, you and your brother kind of look alike.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I didn't date any of them.
Girls are so subtle, you know? They're just so hard to read. They're so mysterious. That's why they're so fascinating to us boys.
Uh-huh. Us boys. Wow.
Do you want to hear the best compliment I've ever gotten
from
a girl?
Yeah, tell me.
I actually rarely tell this story because it's not funny, but it is like it is like a really crazy thing that happened to me one time.
Okay.
Maybe it will be interesting for the listeners. So when me and Matt were in high school, we were a part of this thing called Forensics, which was like a competitive drama thing. We competed against each other
occasionally.
Yeah. But I mean, in some major
time. Oh, yeah, this, yeah, yeah.
I'm telling a story about state.
Yes.
So the state competition.
Right.
I was in for improv, and you were in it for improv.
That's right.
And my team got first place. Your team got second place.
I think we got third.
Oh.
I don't care.
Whatever it was. Yeah, both placed.
Yes, basically. That's right. That's right.
And I will say this. It is kind of a bummer thinking about, anytime I think about this, I'm like, why didn't we just do it together? Because we would have clearly gotten first place.
We did it one time.
Yes.
And we didn't click.
Yeah, we didn't. Well, here's what it was.
You had a different buddy that at the time that you clicked with at like a high caliber.
I remember what it was. I remember.
Yeah.
I remember. And this was something that then later I was like, that was kind of immature of me, basically. Because what it was you had performance anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. I was like, that freaked me out.
Yeah.
And because I didn't have that in the same way. Right. Not to say I was like not anxious about performing, but I was like, I was kind of still in this place of like, if you're telling me you're freaking out, I might freak out. Uh-huh. And you were kind of like, I'm sort of freaking out.
Yeah,
I'm
like, oh, I was, I was absolutely freaking out.
So I then recruited this guy that, yes, sure, we worked, whatever.
But he had no performance.
He just had
anxiety.
No performance anxiety. So I was like, all right, well, he's never going to freak me out. Yeah. But was it a better team? No, it was not. It really wasn't. It was not better with this dude. I don't talk to this dude at all.
Sure.
I barely talked to him then.
Yeah.
At the time, we were barely friends. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, we would have done a lot. We still, and it, I mean, I can say this because I won. So, like, if we had done it together, of course we would have won. I already was going to win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we would have done that together.
Yeah.
And I think that would have been a lot better had we done it together. But, like, as far as it'd be a memory that we can share. Because here we go. Here's the story. Mm-hmm. And this is, man, I've held on to this for a long time. And again, this is not funny. All right.
Okay.
If you're expecting this to pay off,
I'm already laughing, though.
You're going to be disappointed. So it's the finals of our improv thing. So, you know, improv comedy, you know, you get up, you do silly stuff. They had a bunch of weird rules that no improvisers would respect.
It's not improv. It doesn't look like any improv you've ever watched. It's just not real improv.
It was just like, can you, a kid in high school, be funny
right
for like 6 minutes?
Yeah,
basically. That's like all the challenge was.
You have half an hour to come up with that.
Yes. Make up jokes in a half hour and do them in 6 minutes. And I did it. And you get to, because it was the finals, it was this huge auditorium, and then it's like the most popular event, so it was packed.
Yeah.
So I'm like actually crushing for like 300 people, something like that.
317 year olds.
And I still remember, and I remember feeling, I had another event that I was in the finals for.
Mm-hmm.
So when I did my thing, I didn't get to watch anybody before me.
Yeah, yeah.
I did not get to see yours,
right.
Which I regret to this day. When I think about this, I'm like, it's really sad that I didn't actually get to see you do yours.
Hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like I don't know. It bums me out because that would be part of this memory in the story would be getting to watch you do it too. So all I had was my experience of like crushing. I mean, for a high schooler, I'm sure the jokes were so bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I was crushing and I get done and I immediately get off stage and I'm like, all right, well, I have to walk to the other event. And I start walking out and this girl is like following me out. This is the first time, the first of many times I've seen this happen to me. Sorry, that was maybe a little weird for the show. But so she follows me out. And I'm like, again, I have to like go.
Yeah.
And she like taps on my shoulder.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, what? And I turn around and it's this girl. And she was cute. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I can say that because we were both in high school. Uh-huh. Now we're both adults and she might still be cute. I don't know. But she goes, hey, I just wanted to say that was really great. And I think you're going to be really famous one day. That's what she said. And then I asked her name.
Uh-huh.
I could say, I'm not going to say her name,
sure,
but I know her name first and last.
Uh-huh.
I still have it.
Uh-huh.
I added her on Facebook. I could creep on this girl right now.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Is what I'm saying. She's probably like married with kids or whatever. I mean, it's not like I look at her profile every day.
Yeah. How many kids though? Three?
She's got three now. You know, it's like, there's a new kid. But isn't that crazy? Isn't that a crazy? Yeah. That was the best thing any girl ever said to me in school. And obviously now, you know, with the legion, you know, the tens of thousands of listeners to mm-hmm. this podcast, it came true. I did become famous,
uh-huh.
but only with losers. I'm just kidding. I love you.
What game are we talking about?
We're talking about Come On and Slam. We're talking about NBA Jam. Okay, So what do we say?
What's your childhood experience with this video game?
So this was one of the cabinets that they had at Aladdin's Castle. Oh. At the mall in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Hooray. A mall that has disintegrated into dust. and now, actually, it's funny. You can look this mall. I forget. I wish I remembered the name of the mall. But it's a mall in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. People that like abandoned places like go there and take photos.
Amazing.
Like, horrifying. Yeah. Place. And honestly, it wasn't that great when it was open.
Yeah.
Because Pine Bluff is not a great town. It's never been a good town. And it's always been a rough place. But they had NBA Jam. Loved playing NBA Jam. I mean, most of my birthdays, I mean, you can imagine. I mean, I've been this guy the whole time. Yeah. So, like, if it was birthday time, there were really only two choices for me. Roller skating, which was not my idea. Okay. But it would be like my mom would kind of
would have been my idea.
Yeah, so that's what you would
every
have done.
Time.
Yeah, and so I did have to do roller skating every once in a while. I didn't like it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I didn't hate it, but it just wasn't.
I cannot right now picture you on roller skates.
Yeah, yeah.
Even a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm sure it was like falling.
There's no way it works.
Yeah, no. My legs don't work like that. If you got to ask me to do something with my legs, and it requires precision and grace. Ain't got that.
Yeah.
All the precision and grace, that's in my mouth, baby. Or... That's right. I meant like talking.
Okay. All right. Sure.
This is like the funniest episode of this show. So the other birthday was Aladdin's Castle.
Uh-huh.
We do NBA Jam. Love playing NBA Jam. And I will say, as part of a fun like kind of thread that this episode can go down, I thought that I was good at NBA Jam, and I also thought you could be good at NBA Jam.
Good
and
for you.
And then as an adult realized recently that NBA Jam is actually pretty much a fake game where the computer is sort of deciding most of... I mean, obviously you have input, and you could like... The decision as to whether your shot is good or not.
Yeah.
Is a lot of fudgery.
Yeah, absolutely.
Supposedly with the arcade game, it's a lot, and then with the Super Nintendo game, it's less, but...
Let me word it this way. We'll put our analytical hat back on. Let's pretend we're like actually thinking about NBA Jam.
Yeah.
NBA Jam is a sports arcade game that is 100% about game feel.
Yes.
And nothing else.
And I like the game feel of NBA Jam. But yeah, that is kind of it. It is sort of the only thing.
There's
going
no actual
on.
Strategy.
Yeah.
But like you can get hooked by just the game feel if you're willing to buy into its mystique.
I mean, I will say there is a strategy, and the strategy is go, 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 go.
Yeah.
It's aggression.
Get
it's
on
just
fire.
Be aggressive.
And be on fire. Yes. And continue being on fire.
That is so, of course, you could school someone in NBA Jam. I'm not saying that isn't true.
Yeah.
I just mean that. I didn't realize that and it seems more obvious now, but like there are a lot of things that are just being determined underneath by whatever, you know, that goes in. That one's in. Ah, that one's not.
That one didn't. We decided not.
They're discussing.
Oh, it was close. Oh it was close.
Yeah,
nope,
yeah.
It's out.
Oh, that one's no good. And I'm sure there is, I'm sure the NBA Jam, because the thing about NBA Jam that is interesting is it's still updated and supported by a vibrant community. Did you know that?
Well,
they like update NBA Jam with new players
and
stuff.
That's amazing.
Like,
yeah.
Very cool.
I know there was that, they tried to bring it back for the like PS3 or whatever. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And they were like,
that.
They kept the big heads and stuff.
Yeah.
But it, you know, that was, you know, it's as close as you can get, but it's not. This is the one you have to play, the old looking one.
It's tough because, and to kind of get into like sort of reviewing it a little bit, I think that where it is the best is as a four-player experience.
Yeah, that's what I never had, so I don't even know.
Yeah, so let's spotlight on over to you. You're over here with your brother playing it on the Super Nintendo, which is of the more strategic of the ones, but perhaps less fun.
Yeah.
Or I don't know, it seems like, how did y'all play against the computer?
Yeah, the two of us, we would almost never play against each other. I don't know why, I think just because we both wanted to play the Bulls and there was no way...
No one was gonna not play.
No one was gonna play the other team ever.
Yeah.
And so yeah, we would just play together in my memory, and just play against the computer. And honestly, like, it's not like I remember even. I'm not at an age where I can think about getting good at a video game.
Right.
Or I mean, we were the same age when we played it, but I wasn't doing that with video games. I wasn't trying to be good at video games or anything like that. It's just the thing that was on the TV, and this was one of like four video games we owned for the Super Nintendo. Mm-hmm. That's what's funny about NBA Jam, though, because it's like a perfect rental game, but it's one of the games we did in fact own. Like, yeah. It's the one game that we actually binged. I mean, we probably put the most hours into NBA Jam.
Wow.
I bet our Mario World got played more, but like by the babysitter. Like, right, our babysitter right. would come over and play Mario World, right, and we would just watch. Right, because you
had that babysitter that was good
yeah,
at Mario
yeah,
World.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But NBA Jam was the one that the two of us would actually play. But I mean, yeah, I don't have specific memories outside of like all of the sounds of that game,
right.
and the little on fire bar, yes. and like how the game yes. just feels when you're doing that. And I still love all of that, but it's just, there was no like, almost, I mean, if anything, it worked in its advantage that there was no, like, that the game was fake, because I'm just holding right, hitting the shoot button, holding left, hitting the steal button, yeah, hold right, yeah. hit the shoot button. Yeah. Like, that's all it was. It was like the most rudimentary of game playing.
Now, you do have to manage your turbo. Yeah. I want to give it credit for that. Sure. I mean, there's stuff going on. I don't want anyone to knee-jerk react like, no, dude.
Yeah.
NBA Jam is real as hell.
I guess more my point is, any of that stuff that really was there that you could have dug into strategically, I was not. Turbo was a thing you sometimes had or sometimes didn't. When you had it, you used it, and then you'd run out, and then you'd get more turbo if you played good.
Yeah. Yeah. If you play good, you get more turbo.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just kind of part of it. Okay. Do we want to...
Well, tell me about the four-player. Tell me what hooks you into the four-player
stuff. Well, the four-player experience in 1994 was even more chaotic than it is in 2024 because mm-hmm. I was a kid.
Yeah.
So you would get... I mean, I can remember playing with kids that didn't know how to play.
Yeah.
So they would just kind of mess it up.
Yeah.
And then they would... But I always... I just had
Hunter's jaw just literally dropped. I can't express to you the wave that just hit him. Wow, that was incredible to witness.
I just remembered something really crazy.
Okay.
And this isn't gonna make sense to the hardcore people, those of you that listen to both Space Cats and OGA. But I remember I used to insist on it if there's gotta be four. I was like, there's gotta be all four.
You've just been annoying your whole life. You've been so annoying with games. It's not the real game if it's not four. It's not the real experience.
I am having a moment right now.
That's so good.
I have been the same guy the whole time. Yeah. It would be like, oh no, I don't want to play with three. Like,
yeah, it's not the same game. It's a different game, and I don't want to play that game.
Oh my God. That is so crazy.
Really beautiful.
That is mind-blowing.
Hey, Hunter, your life is a flat circle.
I am living. It's me. It's always been me. It's never not been me. Uh-huh. That is so crazy. I'm so sorry, y'all. I'm sorry I've been this guy the whole time.
Well, it just proves you're built this way.
I am built to be.
You didn't choose this life.
I just want, you tell me there's a thing, I want it the best way. That's just how I am.
I want it the way the designer intended.
I might not, if I don't care about it, then I don't care. But if I care, like coffee.
Yeah.
Like, I care about coffee, so I want it the best way.
Uh-huh.
And in my mind, of course, and this is all opinion, this is where it gets dicey.
Sure.
Is what I is the determine best? The
yeah,
best
of
way.
Of course. What's the best way? I don't, yeah.
But I will say,
yeah.
NBA Jam, four players. I don't know. Yeah. I think that's the way to do it. I think if we did a two-player thing right now, and then we had two other friends that showed up, it'd be more fun.
Yeah. Well, so can you, you sort of teased what the story is about, but can you tell me the experience of recently how NBA Jam kind of got ruined for you because you've seen behind the curtain now?
Well, I listen to smart people talk about it because insert credit, the podcast that we always tell you should just listen to that one. Ditch this show.
Yeah.
Get with the good show.
Go listen to the show about it, like with experts on it.
Yeah, where they like know stuff. I mean, we're funnier than those guys. We'll say. I mean, I'm a professional comedian, if you count it in how it just making money, uh-huh. I guess. As long as
you've made more money doing comedy than anyone on insert credit has made doing comedy.
I can say that. That there is absolutely for
there
sure.
There you go.
But does that mean that's a lot of money? I don't know. I mean, we'll see. We'll see. I'm still waiting on my chip to come in on that one. But so, sorry. So on Insert Credit, they did an episode a while back where they ranked the best arcade games of all time. It's a brilliant episode.
Episode 256.
Wow, you knew the number.
That's the bit. The 256.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Yes. Okay.
There you go. Anyways.
So
So in that episode, they talk about NBA Jam a little bit. And Frank, who is the smartest one of all of them, he's also the one doing the Lord's work. You know, he's the one working for us all.
All of Hunter's and Mai's opinions about emulation are, like, I would say 75% grafted from what Frank has told us to think about the topic.
I, the way I even think about it is this. It's like, I'm not even just parroting what Frank says on that show. He runs the Video Game History Foundation with other people, too. But it's that I am trying to spread his word.
He is
Moses.
We proselytize on behalf of the Church of Frank Cifaldi.
We repeat the things that he says because we want everyone to know to start caring about that.
Yeah.
But Frank was talking about NBA Jam and he just started talking about how it's kind of fake and all the numbers are fake underneath. And I feel really dumb to admit that blew my mind.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
And then you went to an arcade to play NBA Jam after hearing that.
It was unmistakable. I was like, I must be such an idiot that I didn't see all the rubber banding that's going on in it.
Right.
There's a lot of rubber banding. Again, we're not saying the game is completely fake. It's not a completely fake game.
Yeah.
But it is a lot. It is kind of a, you know, it's like when you find out there's rubber banding in Mario Kart.
Right.
Then you see it now. Yeah. You're like, oh.
The carts are never too far behind you.
No, yeah, yeah. It's we're tricking it a little bit. If there's any numbers that we can cook, that we can fudge. I mean, obviously, Mario Kart's even more obvious because they have a mechanic built in. You know, you get the blue shell if you're in last. You don't get the blue shell
but
if you're
in first. But the computer players are also just sort of warping around back there.
Yes. There's a lot of goofiness happening with them that is, you know, that isn't just human input. It's something else. And so, I just didn't know that. And then playing it was like, just kind of, I was just like, wow, I am an adult.
Yeah.
I had never really kind of looked at NBA Jam this way. Now, I would say, I think I now have a better understanding of what the appeal is.
Yeah.
This is, if you're talking about a game to yell at.
Absolutely.
Oh, dang. That's a good game for yelling.
Yeah.
I mean, what's a better game for yelling even than NBA Jam?
No.
If anything, the jubilance of this episode and the lack of talking about it mechanically
is the vibe.
Is because NBA Jam is fun to hang out with.
Yeah.
It is not like there will never be a Space Cats Peace Turtles equivalent of NBA Jam. And if there was, I would actively try to get rid of it.
Yeah.
I would become a bit of a podcast terrorist myself.
Yeah.
And I would.
What? Holy shit. What would you do? Kill Jerry. I don't know.
Okay, well, we're like burning up all of the time on jokes.
I love it. Let's segue it then into, because I do think this is actually a good transition. It's all fun times, and that is reflected in the magazine at the time reaction.
The magazine vibe on NBA Jam is like, dude, this game is sick, dude.
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to say anything? Shut up,
fucking
dude.
Rules.
Game sick.
Yeah.
EGM gives it game of the month. But then, and this is kind of the tell, they all gave it nines.
Yeah.
Nobody gives it a 10.
Right.
If you actually read the reviews, they're all just kind of like, game is badass, bro. Like, it just doesn't really explain itself that much. Just sort of like,
at the time, no one's thinking about it. They just love how it feels.
Literally, one of the reviews just says, it's basketball with an attitude. That's what we got. Okay, I get it. And I would say that the only thing I would say to challenge that is, no, it's not basketball, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is not basketball.
Yeah.
This is 2-on-2 and with lots of silliness added on top of it.
Sushi X in EGM says, whether you're a sports, or whether you're a ninja or an armchair sports fan, you'll love to jam. Okay.
I mean,
sure, Sushi. Whatever that means, I'm in.
The quality of, you know, the way the language that people critiqued video games with in 1994, one of the things that we've learned is it wasn't really there, and also that wasn't their goal. We are especially just in the zone of hype only.
Yes.
It's hype only.
Yeah.
I will say my favorite thing about it gets reviewed in Nintendo Power because, of course, it comes out in Super Nintendo. The review, of course, Nintendo Power doesn't really review games, right? They're more about assisting you.
Yeah.
But they have an ad for the multi-tap just
amazing.
In the review. Just right there.
Yeah.
It's just like, there. It's even more obvious than normal. It just says, hey, buy this multi-tap and you can play with four players. I don't know how, in what way is this a review?
Yeah,
it's just saying, yeah, nah, good. You bought NBA Jam. Why not pay us a little more? Just a little bit more would be cool.
But turns out, according to Hunter Donaldson, they're right too. They're right to do it.
I think
they're
right to say. So I had here's a funny thing I had when doing the research of this one. I was like, I wonder if Die Hard game fan, who thus far in doing all the research, I'm like, Die Hard game fan, they're the ones where their opinions are the closest to like survival.
Yeah.
And I'm like, in my head, I was like, I wonder if they didn't like it. Like, I wonder if they like were crotchety about NBA Jam.
Yeah.
And then when I pulled it up, no, they gave it a 97, a 96, a 93, and a 94.
Oh my God.
They were perhaps the most positive.
NBA Jam is like game of the year for 1994.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the reviews opens with, wow, if I had to name only one game that truly brought the arcade experience home, NBA Jam for the Genesis would be my only choice. Although they're reviewing.
We bounced around.
Whatever, who cares?
It's all the same game.
I want to say this is after Street Fighter 2.
Yeah.
Like, and they're saying, this is the best arcade game of all time for the home. We're like, what are you talking about?
Right. So the game that we have just talked about, how much rubber banding and bullshit there is in it.
But that's the thing, is they weren't ready for that.
Yes.
And so it really, they just got into the good vibe of it. And to be honest, I think this is my favorite as far as 2024 to 1994 connection piece, because I think they were absolutely 100% correct.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you should evaluate NBA Jam, which is to say, hey, I'm having fun.
Yeah.
Let's not maybe think about it.
What the fuck else do you want from a video game?
I'm having a good time.
Turns out game feel is like actually what game development is. Yes. Hey, guess what? Every single video game lies to you about what's under the hood and about what you're doing. They all lie to you. So how about the whole point is for it to feel as good as possible?
Yep.
And there's like almost no moment when NBA Jam feels like wonky or weird.
Yep. Yeah, it is a fun, cool game. If you haven't ever hung out with it, you should. I personally recommend you do it with three friends, though.
Yeah.
And I'm realizing that's been...
That's a part of your life.
I'm a stingy boy.
Sure.
When it comes to player count. I've been a stingy player count boy my whole life. But now, what do we do with a game like NBA Jam? Where do we even begin to think about placing this game? All right.
Yeah, man, it's like you're still tripping me up with the like insistence that basically every game is going on the list anyways, and which is fine, and NBA Jam probably does deserve to be on the list, but it freaks me out to constantly have to kill a darling. What kind of darling gets killed for NBA Jam on the list? I still don't know, because we're still not really in the territory. We're killing a lot of chaff.
Yeah.
On the list, which means someday this part of the list will be like, oh, we've covered every genre, like everything is represented on the list. So when one thing enters, its mirror must die. Mm-hmm. I think that's how the list will be like a year from now or something like that.
Yes.
2 years from now. But right now it's like we have three Mass Effect games that they don't all need to be there or whatever. You know, I think we finally did kill some of the Mass Effects, but there's examples like that where there's too many of things. So NBA Jam, you know, what my fear would be is a sports arcade game. You're not going to make me kill Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3, are you? And I'm saying right now, I'm disallowing.
You will not allow Tony Hawk.
I will not allow. Because there's not any other sports arcade games on here,
there can be two
for now.
But there is a game that where you yell at the screen with your friends.
Oh.
And it's got a lot of rubber banding.
Ooh.
And we've already brought it up. Mario Kart 64. That's what I say.
Kill her.
Mario.
Do it. I don't care.
Michael Jordan rank.
Yeah.
Mario is better at jump, or sorry.
Yeah, Mario's better at jumping.
I say Michael is better at jumping than Mario.
Sure.
Okay. Mario can do a triple jump, but can he dunk?
Yeah.
Also, Michael Jordan is not in NBA Jam, so it doesn't make sense.
This is funny because, I would say Mario Kart 64. If you put no options, you just said, say the game you have yelled about with friends the most in your life.
Yeah.
I do think Mario Kart 64 would rank maybe the top. Maybe number one.
Super Smash Brothers Melee.
Super Smash Brothers. I wonder.
For you?
Well, for me, I'm saying for all. For all.
Oh, for everyone.
For if you ask everybody. Yeah.
No, that's a generational thing. There are kids that don't
know what that is or care what that is. They play Mario Kart.
Sort of my point. NBA Jam was the winner of that, mm-hmm. and then I think Mario Kart 64 usurped that, and then 5 to 10 years later, something usurped Mario Kart.
Mario Kart has every been replaced. 5 years.
Yeah, for
NBA
sure.
Jam is the end point of a certain point of view. I mean, we could talk about NFL Blitz a little bit, but honestly,
I wanted to. NFL Blitz, just to say it, is another game where it's all about the game feel. But NFL Blitz is stupider because here's the thing. I only ever did one play in NFL Blitz ever.
Da bomb.
We all did. All you did.
If you don't get this, that's because you didn't play NFL Blitz. Yeah. But if you played NFL Blitz, you know about da bomb. We all did it. Okay. It's like a hack. We all knew. You just run the da bomb over and
over.
You
just do da bomb. You run backwards for as long as
want. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You get into the other end zone.
You do whatever you want.
And then you chuck it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Touchdown.
So NFL Blitz, I think what it is that NBA Jam, basketball.
NBA Jam is basketball.
Basketball is a cool game with like pretty simple, straightforward, easy to understand rules that we can put clown shoes on.
Right.
And we're not losing a whole lot. We can still sort of maintain a lot of the fun and interestingness of it. Whereas to put clown shoes on football, which is basically the Twilight Imperium of sports.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In that it's dumb and takes way too long to play. But like to do that to the NFL, I think you lose a lot more
for
the tension of the game.
Well, nobody
starts breaking down more.
Nobody, I think, thought NFL Blitz was a proper sports game.
No.
And I think even with NBA Jam, there were plenty of people that were like, this is a basketball game. Yeah, it's sometimes the ball is on fire.
Yeah.
But that's just a video gamey thing.
Yeah. NFL Blitz, nobody was fooled.
Yeah.
But NBA Jam, people were like, this is a serious sports title. I mean, we just read a bunch of stuff that
it's also like a timeline thing too, right? NFL, by the time NFL Blitz comes out, like you do have Madden's. So NFL Blitz was like setting itself apart from those things.
That's true.
And I don't think there were not to say
there were other sports games,
but none of them were like as ubiquitous and big of a deal.
That's fair.
Whereas like I would say there were just as many people, you know, Madden probably sold just as well as NFL Blitz. NBA Jam smoked all basketball games.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 That was the first, it was definitely the first basketball game I ever played.
Yeah.
I do not have to check that at all.
Right.
Like for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay. So what do you think about Killing Mario Kart
64? I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like spiritually, I think it's the right play.
Yeah.
It's number 69 on the list.
Yeah. Nice. I got a recommendation though, because the cool games kind of go in that slot. I don't know why.
Is this a simple?
I'm not sure why NBA Jam needs to go somewhere else.
I think NBA Jam is a perfect 69.
I
think if someone sees that NBA Jam is number 69 on our list, they're going to be like, nothing else could go there.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally, what else could be 69 besides NBA?
I mean, honestly, it is convenient that what is right under it, like if we put it lower, what would get pushed up is 30 Flights of Loving.
Yeah.
Which in itself is slightly funny as a 69, but not as good as NBA
Jam.
No,
it's not as good. And just to give you a little bit idea what's around it, we're basically saying it's one less than Donkey Kong Country 3, which I actually don't agree with, but that's not how this works. All right.
I mean, as a game, you know, we could decide to put that hat on and say like NBA Jam's too fake when we're talking about, like, I'm just saying the pretend versions of ourselves that justify this position on the list say that kind of a thing.
I mean, I'll say that if you really wanted me to evaluate it as far as quality, I think it could make up into maybe even the 50s.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're going with.
That's
today.
Not the right heart.
And there will be a re-ranking. And I feel like when we re-rank, it'll even be like, yeah, we gotta have NBA Jam is 69. Like, it's just gotta be.
You put EJ and Son in the room too.
There's just
they're
no
not gonna
way
change
they're not
their
gonna
mind.
Go with that, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I'm trying to think of a game that we could just hot swap into 69. That's also funny.
No,
literally nothing.
Nothing.
Y'all. Super
nothing
Monkey
is
Ball
as
is
good.
The closest. That
I mean, if anything, this is the reason NBA Jam may never fall off the list.
Yeah,
is because it's just supposed to be number 69.
So that's gonna be that's a new thread. That's a new storyline.
New way to do this.
NBA Jam sits at 69. It's kind of locked until we find a better 69 game.
Absolutely.
Okay. And it's not going to be Blitz. We've I mean, we might cover Blitz when we get there.
Sure.
But we've already talked about how Blitz just ain't. It ain't the same thing.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. Cool. I like NBA Jam at 69. That seems fun.
I love
seems
it.
Like the right vibe.
We did it.
Okay. I got a rundown.
Whoa, and I'm here for it.
We do rundown now.
Okay.
I want to thank our poor Richard's Almanac. I want to thank Iowan. I want to thank Brendan. I want to thank Teddy's Jam for You, Zest Appeal, Cardinal Billy, Jukebox Hero, If Then, DM Anonymous, NPC Aaron, Anatroc, and Magnanimous.
Woo!
That's the best I've done on that.
Very good.
Congratulations. I literally wrote it out earlier and practiced.
You practiced.
Because I was good. Really bad on the most recent good. Episode.
Okay.
I did a really bad job. It sounded so, and I didn't edit it.
Hey, either. You know, I give you some DM Anonymous and Magnanimous.
Tough.
That's tough to get
That's
through.
Tough. That's tough. But, you know, and I like putting them so close to each other, too. It's like a challenge.
Mm.
There is a poll out for the April bonus episode. I talked about this on the last episode, which at this point came out like yesterday or the day before. And I'll kind of summarize here if you missed on that. Because I think this is a more popular game, so I think they will get more hits on this. So here are your bonus episodes. The way bonus episodes work, I'll explain for like the fourth time, is that they go in your feed normal style, but they are not about video games. They're about either 1994 or 2024 media that is non-video game related.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really pretty much based off what I'm interested in. And then y'all pick the thing I know you're going to pick.
Right.
And we'll see if you can figure out which ones are the me picks. So the first is the Three Colors trilogy, which I literally have on the desk right there, which is a series of films by a filmmaker named Krzysztof Kieślowski, which I definitely did not pronounce correctly. They're French movies. Incredible. The acting is, it's like the best thing you could choose for me to talk about too. If you choose to have me talk about that, I'm going to get my friend Andrew on here and he's going to blow your mind. And I will say it is doing all right in the poll. So we'll see. You might unlock a whole new side of me if you pick that one. The second one is of a music album, as if there's any other kind, by a band.
A food album.
Yes, by an indie rock band that was very important to me, and they're from the 90s. They're called Pavement. They had an album that came out in February 1994 called Crooked Rain, Crooked Rain, which is, I don't know if it's my favorite one of theirs, but it's one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of fun stories I can tell about times that I've seen Pavement where weird things happen. So that one's also pretty fun. There's a lot of maybe Hunter backstory and lore you can get out of that one. And then the other two are 2024 options. We could talk about that Fallout TV show, or we could talk about the Shogun TV show.
I've watched an episode and a half of Fallout so far with Katie.
Katie watched it.
I was making, not making, actually, Katie said, do you want to watch that Fallout show? I'll watch it with you.
You didn't even make her.
Nope.
You let her think it was her idea.
She knew she was being nice to me.
She was tossing you a bone.
Uh-huh.
She was like, this might be good for both of us.
Anyways, 1.5 episodes.
1.5, because she fell asleep.
Actually, that's hilarious. No, not in
She didn't fall asleep.
Not this.
She
not
always
this
falls
time.
Asleep, you said.
I know, she does. She does normally. But this time I just wanted to watch Success, or I wanted to watch Severance instead.
I see.
Yeah.
So turned off due to lack of interest.
Interesting.
Ah.
Do you really need that episode then? Do you really need a Fallout
right
TV
now.
Show episode?
It's
I know
winning.
It's winning by a little bit. I'm just saying maybe there's more interesting options to talk about than.
I mean, I'll tell you this. The Three Colors trilogy blows all these other options out of the water as far as how interesting, how cool, how just they're incredible. And they're just not, you know, it's pretentious film school stuff.
Yeah.
So that's less popular. And I get it.
But you'd be a better person if you voted for it.
Also, you might learn some stuff.
You're not going to learn anything from us talking about the Fallout TV show.
That's true. Yeah, you're definitely
nothing.
Not going to learn anything. You're just going to have... I mean, come on. You know what it's going to be. You know what it's going to be.
Yeah.
We're going to watch it. We're gonna
and
be like,
all we'll do is talk about Todd Howard's leather jacket. That's all that will happen. You won't even get a critique of the show. We just did the whole bit. Every bit that's going to be in that episode, we've just done.
No,
so go
I'll
vote
talk
for Three
about
Colors.
Walton Goggins. I'm going to be like, Walton Goggins is a national treasure, and he's out here killing it again.
The movie with Austin Butler and Walton Goggins, and Hunter will explode.
Two weird boys with their big, hard, weird faces just looking at each other, scrunching their faces up. That's all they're doing, just making weird, weird smiles. Can you imagine the weird Goggins v. Butler
It is a dialogue-less Waiting for Godot starring Walter Goggins and Austin Butler.
This is the best idea I've ever heard.
Old Gamers Almanac is produced by Matt Martins and Hunter Donaldson, with music by Knight Corey. If you liked our little show, consider giving us a 5-star rating or heading over to patreon.com/oldgamersalmanac.